Good morning. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in the book of what? Ephesians. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and go there. Ephesians chapter 3. This morning we are going to finish up chapter 3 in verses 14 all the way through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. If you're just joining us on this day, we are marching our way through this wonderful book that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and today we land on Ephesians chapter 3. It reads like this. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Would you pray with me? God, we come before your throne. And we just say thank you so much for this wonderful time of worship that we just had to be able to sing out your praises. This worship that reflects ultimately what's going on in heaven. We get to join in with that. We thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of the church, calling us sons and daughters of God by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just give this morning to you. We give this day to you right now. Lord, as we open up just your word, as we read this incredible text, Lord, God, we just ask and pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that where we need to be convicted, that you would convict us. Father, where we need to be just reminded of your great love, that you would remind us of that. God, where we would just be shown, God, your incredible power. So God, speak to us right now. God, you know every need that's in this place. You know every concern that's in this place. God, you know every life, every hurt, everything that's going on in every single person in this place this morning. And Father, we just ask and pray that you would, God, meet us in this very moment. God, you know what we need to hear. God, you know what we need to hear from you today. So God, speak to our hearts. Minister to our hearts right now, God. We look to you. We love you, we love you, we love you. And we just declare this morning that we need you and that without you, we are nothing. We love you, God. And everyone said, amen. Amen. The mission of Lake Center Baptist Church reads like this. Lake Center Baptist Church exists to glorify God by introducing all peoples to Jesus Christ and growing them up to love and worship him. And the values and vision that we believe will help us to accomplish our mission read like this. How will we introduce all peoples to Jesus Christ and grow them up to love and worship him? We want to be a people of worship. We will love and worship God. Therefore, we will gather corporately each week and love and worship God every day of our lives. How will we introduce all peoples to Jesus Christ and grow them up to love and worship him? Next, we want to be a people of prayer. We will desperately depend on God. Therefore, we will be a people who pray for the glory and guidance of God in everything we do. So we want to be a people of worship. We want to be a people of prayer. Of evangelism. All peoples to Jesus Christ and grow them up to love and worship him. Next, we want to be a people of evangelism. We want to reach people with the gospel. Therefore, we will spread the message of Jesus Christ verbally and by the way we live our daily lives. So we want to be a people of worship. We want to be a people of prayer. We want to be a people of evangelism. Next, we want to be a people who do ministry. We will serve the purposes of God. Therefore, we will serve in ministry inside the walls of the church and outside the walls of the church. Next, we want to be a people of fellowship. We will do life together. Therefore, we will be involved in smaller groups that meet regularly. And lastly, how will we grow all people up to love and worship Jesus Christ? We want to be a people of discipleship. We will grow in the things of God. Therefore, we will relentlessly devote ourselves to learn and live out the Word of God. And all of these values that I just shared are of utmost importance to us here at Lake Center. We want to live each one of them out for the glory and the honor of God. But if you were to pin me down and to say to me, Caleb, which one of those values is most important? Which one's most important? Worship, prayer, evangelism, ministry, fellowship, or discipleship. Which one of those is most important? Well, I believe that all of these are of utmost importance. If I had to pick one, it would be this. I submit to you this morning that prayer is the most important act that a Christian can do. Prayer. We will desperately depend on God. Therefore, we will be a people who pray for the glory and guidance of God in everything we do. You see, when we pray, what we are saying is this: God, we depend on you to help us to worship you and to worship you alone and not the gods of this world. When we pray, we are saying, God, we depend on you to help us to evangelize this lost world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. When we pray, what we are saying is this: God, we are depending on you to help us to do ministry inside the walls of this church, but also outside of the walls of this church, God, for the glory and the honor and the praise of your name. When we pray, what we are saying is, God, we depend on you to help us to have deep biblical community and fellowship like the Bible speaks of. God, we depend on you to help us to grow in discipleship. You see, prayer is one of the most important things that you can do as a follower of Christ. Prayer is the most important thing that we can do as a church. Prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer causes our God to act. Alistair Begg says, for effective ministry in a church, you need a praying eldership and a praying congregation. That's all of us. He says, prayer is an acknowledgement that our need of God's help is not partial, but total. And this text that we are looking at today, this is a prayer. It's a prayer. And the first thing that we see in Paul's prayer, and you can write this down, is that it is a prayer of worship. He starts off in worship. Notice what Paul says at the beginning of this text. In verse 14, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. For what reason? For what reason does Paul bow his knees before the Father? For all of the reasons that he has written about up to this point in the letter. Chosen before the foundation of the world. Chosen for adoption. He's bowing his knees before God the Father because he is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's bowing his knees before God because God's grace has been lavished on him. The Holy Spirit has been given to him. He is saved by grace. Gentiles and Jews are made one in Christ. He's bowing his knees before God the Father because the mystery of the gospel has been revealed to Paul. And Paul is saying, for these reasons, and for so many more reasons, I bow on my knees in worship before God the Father. And bowing on one's knees is a biblical posture for worship. We see it all throughout the Word of God, Psalm 95, a great passage of Scripture on worship. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and what? Bow down. Let us what? Kneel. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. This is why we kneel before him. This is why we worship him, because of the great things that he has done because of who he is. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Paul says, for all of these reasons, I bow before God. I kneel before God the Father in worship. Then he says in verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. What's that mean? This is referring to God's spiritual family. Remember, Paul had previously said in Ephesians chapter 2, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You see, if you are a Christian, you are a part of the family of God. You are a member of the household of God, and this is only by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So Paul starts off his prayer by bowing to God in worship, simply because of what God has done. And that should be enough for us this morning to bow our knees in worship to God. You see, if you're in Christ today, these same reasons that Paul was bowing before God are the same reasons that we should bow before God as well. God chose you before the foundation of the world. God chose you for adoption. You were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God's grace has been lavished on you. Why should we bow in worship before God? Because of these exact same reasons. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. You too are saved by grace. You too have access to God through Christ. The gospel, the mystery of the gospel has been revealed to you as well. And these reasons are enough for us to bow before God the Father. Do you ever bow on your knees in prayer to God the Father? And if you can't physically bow in prayer before God the Father, can you posture your heart? Can you bow your heart? You see, he is worthy of that type of reverence. He is worthy of that type of worship because of the things that he has done for us. So we see Paul starting off this prayer by giving God worship. And next, Paul prays a prayer, and you can write this down, for God's power. He starts off in worship, and then he prays a prayer for God's power. He says in verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power. Circle that word power, or underline that word power, through his Spirit in your inner being. So here Paul is praying that the Ephesian believers would have the power of God, that they would be strengthened with the power of God. The word power that Paul uses here is the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite from. But why would Paul be praying that the Ephesian believers would have power? You see, the culture of Ephesus, they were opposed to the things of God. They were against the things of God. They were a very carnal culture. And Paul was praying for them. He was praying for them as they were living in the midst of this culture that was opposed to the things of God, that they would be strengthened by God's power. And Paul goes on to tell them in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. He's praying for their strength. He is praying that God would give them power in the middle of this culture. You see, we all long for some sort of power. We all want a vehicle with a powerful engine, right, guys? We want a powerful cell phone signal. We want powerful medicine to get the job done. We want a powerful vacuum cleaner to get the job done as well, to get our carpet clean. While those types of powers are great, the greatest type of power that you can have is the power of God living inside of you. And this is a great prayer for us to pray this morning. God, strengthen me with power in my inner being. God, strengthen me with power in my inner being so that I can stand against temptation. God, strengthen me with power in my inner being so that I can live for you in my home. God, strengthen me with power so that I can live for you in my school or in my workplace. God, strengthen me with your power so that I can have courage to take your light to the darkness. God, strengthen me with your power. Where do you need God's power today? Maybe it's to overcome something. Maybe it's to overcome an addiction, or to overcome some type of thought process, or to overcome some type of hurt, or something like that. Where do you need God's power? I submit to you today that we need God's power in every area of our lives. We need God's power in our marriages. We need God's power in our parenting. We need God's power in the way that we love one another, to help us to love one another. We need God's power to make it through another day. We need God's power in every area of our lives. And this is a great prayer for us to pray today as well. God, in this culture, in my neighborhood, in my context, in the world that you have placed me in, God, would you fill me with your power? God, would you strengthen me with your power so that I can live for you? And we pray for God's power. Next, we see a prayer for God's dwelling. The beginning of 17. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And this verse is not talking about salvation. This verse is talking about Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in one's life. The word dwell that Paul uses here is the Greek word katoikeo. And it carries the idea of settling down in a place or inhabiting that place and ruling over that place. I'm sure that if you're in this place today, you have rented a home. And I'm sure that many of you have purchased homes. And you know that whenever you rent a home, you're not staying there very long. The idea is that eventually you're going to move out. But whenever you purchase a home, you're saying this: I'm setting up shop here. I'm going to settle in here. I am going to dwell here. This is going to be my residence where I live. And this is essentially what Paul is praying here for the Ephesian believers. He's saying, your heart is not a rental for Jesus to come and go. He's saying, I pray that you would allow Jesus to settle down in your heart, to inhabit your heart, to rule over your heart. And this is a great prayer for us to pray today as well. Jesus, katoikeo, katoikeo, my heart. Jesus, dwell in my heart. Jesus, settle down in my heart. Jesus, inhabit my life. Jesus, rule over my life. Jesus, I don't want to be the God of my life. I don't want to be the king of my life. Jesus, you dwell in me. You be the king of my heart. You be the Lord of my life. You rule over my life. Jesus, in the midst of this culture that I am living in, dwell in me so that the world around me can simply see you oozing out of me. Jesus, give me your power. Jesus, dwell inside of me. Rule inside of me. That's what Paul is praying here. Here's a question that I need to ask and a question that we all need to ask. Are we willing to pray that type of prayer today? Jesus, settle down in this heart. Jesus, settle down in this life. Jesus, inhabit my life. Jesus, rule over my life. Jesus, dwell in me so that others around me simply see you. So he prays a prayer of power, for power, a prayer for God's dwelling. Next, we see a prayer to comprehend God's love. Verse 17. He says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. What's Paul doing here? He's praying that the Ephesian believers would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. He is praying for them that they would understand the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love for them. See, in my life, there are many things that I wish that I could understand better. I wish that I could understand how the engine in my vehicle works better, so that whenever my car breaks down, I have a better understanding of what needs to happen to fix that. That way, whenever I take it in to the mechanic, I can use like educated language. You know what I mean? Like when you take your car to a mechanic, and you're like, it's making this noise, and he looks at you like you're a goober. Like, my dad's a mechanic. I'm always calling him, "Dad, it's making this noise." He's like, "Caleb, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, all right? I wish I better understood my vehicle. I wish I better understood how to do, like, home repair projects so that I'm not constantly having to call repairmen to come to my house and to fix the things that I've messed up trying to fix. You know what I'm saying? I wish I better understood my children so that I can, you know, better meet their needs and to understand what their individual needs are." And while it's never bad to want to understand something better, do you know what you and I need to understand the most? It's God's love for us. More than anything, we need to understand the love that God has for us. More than anything, we should pray, as Paul is praying for these Ephesian believers, that we would be able to comprehend the love of God, that we would be able to understand the love of God. You see, whenever we understand the love of God, whenever we are rooted and grounded in God's love, it will drastically change the way we think about ourselves. Whenever we understand the love that God has for us, it will drastically change the way we think about ourselves, and at the same time, it will drastically change the way that we think about other people. You see, the world may say that you are unlovable based on your past. Whenever you are rooted and grounded in the love of God, statements like that don't affect you because you understand God's love for you, that He loves you no matter what. The world may say you have to look or act a certain way to be accepted, but whenever you are rooted and grounded in God's love, you can simply be yourself. You can be who God created you to be. You see, God loves you just the way that you are. And Paul is praying that these Ephesian believers would be rooted and grounded in God's love. And that's a great prayer for us to pray today. God, help me to be rooted and grounded in your love. God, help me to comprehend and to understand your love. As a pastor, people tell me quite often, God could never love me based on my past. Listen, church family, you don't get to make that choice. You don't get to make that distinction. God loves you. God loves you. I love what Packer says about this. He says, "There is tremendous relief in knowing His love to me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me." Quit beating yourself up. God loves you. Quit thinking bad about yourself. God loves you. Quit feeling guilty about your past. God loves you. Quit feeling guilty about your present mistakes. Confess them. Move on. God loves you. Quit trying to earn God's love. God loves you. Psalm 36, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds." And I believe with all my heart that many of you in this room need to take this verse that Paul said, as he said that you would be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, "that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge." I believe with all my heart that there's many of you in this room that need to take that verse and you need to underline it and you need to circle it, and today you need to rest in the love that God has for you. God loves you. Next, He continues this prayer, and he prays a prayer for God's fullness. And he continues with this idea of love. Paul says again that you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Here's why. He says that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You see, when we understand the love that God has for us, it will fill us up with everything that we need. This word filled that Paul uses here, it could also mean fully supplied or complete. The world will tell you that you need X amount in your bank account to be fully supplied or complete. The world will tell you that you need so many followers on Instagram or so many followers on Facebook to be fully supplied and complete. The world will tell you that your children need this or that, or your grandchildren need this or that to be fully supplied and complete. But what Paul is saying here is that whenever you are full of the love of God, whenever you understand the love that God has for you, you are complete. You have everything that you need whenever you understand the love that God has for you. You don't need anything else. He says, be filled with the love of God. Jesus said of himself, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This morning, if you want to feel complete, if you want to feel full, if you want to feel satisfied today, listen, rest in the love that God has for you. Receive the love that God has for you. Be filled with God's love for you. Be satisfied in his love for you. Feast on Jesus Christ. Feast on his love, the love that he has for you, and you will be filled with him. And lastly, as Paul starts off his prayer to God in worship, what's he do? He ends this prayer in worship. He ends this prayer in worship. And this is a great application for us this morning, that our prayers would be bookended by worship. And listen to this great doxology that Paul prays. He says, now to him who was able to do far more abundantly then all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. What's Paul doing here in this last verse? He is summing up everything that he just prayed about. As Paul prayed that the Ephesians would have power, that God would dwell among them, that they would comprehend God's love, that they would be complete and full of God's love. He is saying, God is able to do this for you and beyond what you could ever think or imagine. And notice the purpose of Paul's prayer. Notice the purpose of Paul's prayer. He says this, so that God would be glorified in the church and in Christ Jesus. All throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul is taking this high view of the church and Jesus Christ being glorified in the church. And can I remind you today, church family, that God is able to do far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. God is able to give you his power and to dwell and to reign in your life far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. God is able to help you to comprehend and to understand, able to satisfy you and to make you abundantly than you could ever ask or think. God is able to satisfy you and to make you complete and full of his love far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. And as God is able to do these things and so much more, God is able to do a work in your marriage far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. God is able to do a work in your finances far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think if you would honor him with your finances. God is able to do a work in your family far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. Maybe you have a son or a daughter who is running away from the things of God, or a grandchild, or you have a parent or a friend. Listen, through prayer, God is able to do a work in them far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. No one is beyond God. No one is beyond saving. You see, God is able to do a work in your family. God is able to do a work in your future far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. God is able to do a work in our church and with our church and through our church far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. Something that's really on my heart right now, and I know it's on the heart of so many pastors that are my friends, that I would call my colleagues, and it's the idea of this, it's revival. Is that we would see another great awakening, that we would see thousands upon thousands of people coming to Christ and calling on Jesus Christ for salvation and submitting their lives to the Lordship of Christ. And guess what, church family? God is able to do that, right? He is able to do that far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. I see these seats that are open today, and my prayer is this, is that God would fill these seats with people who are hungry for the Word of God, with people who are hungry for the things of God. That He would fill these seats with people who are crying out to God, who have submitted their lives to the Lordship of Christ. That is my prayer, and God is able to do that and so much more if we, as the people of God, would submit to Him and would cry out to Him and would call out to Him in prayer and ask God to do works for the glory and the honor of His name. But as we pray, here's the question that you and I need to consider. As we ask God to do things like this, as we ask God to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think in our church and in our home and among our families and in our finances, here's the question that we need to ask this morning. Are we asking God to do these things for our glory or for His glory? Are we praying prayers for our glory or are we praying prayers for His glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, as Paul prayed here? You see, God can sniff out wrong motives in our prayers pretty easily. But whenever we pray prayers for His glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, I believe those are the types of prayers that He hears, and those are the types of prayers that He answers. Jonathan Edwards, the great American theologian of the 1700s, says there is no way that Christians in a private capacity can do so much to promote the work of God and advance the kingdom of God as by prayer. May we be a people who give God worship in prayer. May we be a people who cry out to God in prayer for power. God, I need Your power. God, would Your power come? Would You give me Your power so that I can live for You? May we be a people who ask God to dwell and to reign among us and to rule among us. May we be a people who cry out to God in prayer and ask Him to help us to understand His great love, the great love that He has for us. May we be a people who cry out to God in prayer and ask Him to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think, but not for our glory. Not for our glory, but for His glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? You see, you cannot even begin to pray to God unless you have submitted your life to His Lordship. Why do you need to do that? The Bible says this, Jesus Christ is the only way that you can have your sin forgiven. And the Bible says this, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Everyone who submits their life to Him, bows their knee to Him and says, Jesus Christ, I need You. I am hopeless without You. I receive Your salvation. I place my faith and my trust in You. I place my faith and my trust in the work that You have done on the cross. Why do you need to do that? Because of sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only way that you can have your sin forgiven is by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. And you can do that this morning. You can call on him right from your seat this morning, and you can call on him to save you. And the Bible says this, that whenever you place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, that he will save you from your sin, and you become a child of God. You have access to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, you can pray, because Jesus Christ makes a way for you to pray. You see, without Christ, you can't even pray to God. You can't even come to God unless you have Christ in your life. If you've never called on him to save you, you can do that right now from your seat. Would you do that right now in this moment? And just part of this time of response this morning, would you give him just a prayer of worship? Based on the things that he's done for you, the fact that he calls you to himself, the fact that he gives you his Holy Spirit, the fact that he has adopted you through his Son, would you just give him worship and prayer right now? Would you pray a prayer for God's power? God, give me your power. God, fill me up with your power. Give me your strength. Strengthen me with your power so that whenever I go to my job tomorrow, or as I'm dealing with this client, or as I'm going home to this, or you fill in the blank, God, give me your power. God, would you dwell in my life? Would you rule in my life? Would you pray that prayer right now? A prayer for God's dwelling in your life. Would you pray right now that you would somehow, some way, be able to comprehend God's love? And I understand his love is high. The love of God is something beyond, like says, it's wide, it's deep, it's low, it's high. The love of God is something beyond anything that we could possibly fathom. But just in this moment, you just say, God, help me just to comprehend your love. He loves you. Pray that you would be full of the love of God, and that you would be satisfied with understanding this great love that God has for you in your life. And lastly, just give him worship because of these great things. And God, we love you. We say thank you so much for this incredible text that reminds us that we are to call on you in prayer, that we are to be a people of prayer, a people who give you worship in prayer, a people who pray for your power, a people who pray that you would dwell among us, a people who pray that we would be able to comprehend and to understand your love, a people that would pray for your fullness, that we would be content and satisfied with your love. Oh God, help us to be a people, God, of prayer. God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters in this place today that if there is anybody in this room that simply needs to understand and to be reminded of your love this morning, that in this moment, that you would just show them that you love them, that your love for them is beyond what they could possibly imagine. That they would be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Would you just flood them with your love this morning and remind them of your great love? We love you, God. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a people who pray. We need you, God. We need you. We need you.